Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jonathan Pettis, Chief Information Officer at NASA. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayada. Jonathan, you referenced earlier the IT strategy at NASA. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about that. Specifically, how have you sought to modernize and standardize the use of technology so it benefits both the agency and the constituents that you serve, as well as align the resources to NASA's overall strategic goals?
Well, we spoke a little bit in the last segment about the shift in terms of our how we go about executing our programs. And that's has been a huge driver in terms of changing our IT strategy. When we talk about our IT strategy at NASA, we talk about four principles. One overarching principle, which is IT should serve to enable the mission. Now, that sounds like, you know, motherhood and apple pie. Who could disagree with that? But what it means to us is, if you think about our history again, we created a lot of IT. Back in the early days of, say, the Apollo program, everything that that program needed in terms of technology, they created. And so things like routers and networks and protocols and things of that nature, which today are commonplace and commodity items, we created. We're about innovation, as I said earlier, but sometimes perhaps we have not adapted to the availability of commercial IT quickly enough. And so when we talk about ensuring that our IT is about enabling the mission, what we really mean by that is that we don't create IT just to be innovative in IT. We are innovating around our mission, and where IT supports that is where we innovate, but we rely on the private sector where we can, especially where we have commodity-style type IT. A second principle is that our IT should be about integrating information and business processes across the organization. I spoke to that a little earlier in terms of using IT as a way to allow our workforce to collaborate across our center and organizational boundaries in order to design and develop our new space flight systems, as well as our science missions and so forth. A third principle is that IT at NASA ought to create efficiencies. And along with that, we ought to be efficient in our implementation of IT. Sounds like it's a duplicative statement, but it's really not. IT is about creating efficiencies through automating processes and integrating information. So you think about things like business cases and investment style processes to ensure that. But also at NASA through the years, in some cases, we've had no shortage of efforts to try to be efficient through implementing IT. And in doing so, we've created some inefficiencies in our IT itself. So in our rush to create automation, we've done so in some cases without an eye toward ensuring that we're efficient with our IT. And then the last principle that I'll mention is that as we implement information technology solutions, we ought to ensure that they're secure. At a high level, we've used those principles to sort of outline our IT strategy going forward.
Great. Now, in your IT strategy, I was excited to see a reference to my old alma mater, the MIT Sloan School of Business. And MIT's research has found that effective IT governance is a key to an organization's ability to respond quickly and effectively to changing needs. So to this end, could you tell us more about your efforts to enhance IT governance within NASA? Specifically, could you elaborate on efforts to foster an enterprise-wide view of IT rather than a stovepipe model of IT?
That's one of those big challenges, and we referred to them to that topic a little bit earlier. But in fact, we've actually used some of the research from MIT that you refer to, and also research from folks like Gartner and Forrester to look at different best practices around governance for IT. And so what we've done at NASA is, number one, we've tried to clarify the difference between the information technology solutions that support the mission versus those that are embedded in the mission. And let me explain. So if you think about our financial systems, our networks that allow our employees to collaborate and communicate, even our CAD design tools that our engineers use, that's all IT that supports the mission. If you think about, though, on board a spacecraft, the avionics system that guide the spacecraft, the operations systems that are embedded in the spacecraft, tons of IT there, but not so much IT that needs to be governed by the CIO. It's IT that's part of the program. And so one of the difficulties we've had in the past at NASA is sort of distinguishing between the two, in the sense that the programs themselves would oftentimes be responsible for sort of the governance of, if you will, each of the supporting IT elements in addition to those core sort of mission elements. And so we've tried to clarify that definition. And then also we've tried to implement some processes, and we're in the midst of doing this. We've by no means completed it, where we provide better visibility into IT investments, because you can't improve decision making if there's not really better visibility into those decisions that are being made at a broader level. So we've established strategy and investment board at the most senior level in the agency. The role of that board is to look for opportunities, and the CIO facilitates the process for cross-enterprise implementation versus stovepipe implementation. So looking at the big ticket items in our budget in terms of investments. And then we have, in the federated model, we have similar structures that link up with that agency structure that exists at each of the centers. So focusing on using that committee and that process, clarifying the role of the CIO in managing the support IT, and then, of course, budget visibility, so that we really understand where in the budget, from a financial perspective, having that transparency relative to where the IT spend is, all are important in terms of helping us, you know, improve our IT governance, which in the end is being clear about how we allocate decision rights for IT.
So, like many organizations, NASA's IT infrastructure comprises things such as hardware, software, and the processes that all together deliver the IT capabilities that you have. Having said this, NASA's IT infrastructure is now being challenged to meet your IT principles. Could you tell us a little bit more about these principles? And to meet the challenges, could you elaborate a bit more on three aspects of the NASA infrastructure?
Yeah, well, we like to talk about the infrastructure consisting of, if you think about you as an end user and you have to interact with an IT solution, you're typically starting that interaction from an end user device, a laptop, a desktop computer, a PDA. That end user device component is a component of our infrastructure. Then the communication that takes place is, if you're at one of our centers, it's either over a landline or a wireless network. You're communicating on a local network. If you are trying to access a service that's running on a server or a computing engine that's remote to that site, you're then traversing our wide area network. So we think about LAN, WAN together as our comm infrastructure. And then finally, the data center component is those facilities and operations capabilities that house the computing environment on which applications run. So together, those make up our IT infrastructure. Now, I found at NASA that it's been helpful to sort of simply describe what we mean when we talk about IT infrastructure, especially to our stakeholders and our leadership, because the word's thrown around a lot, but just sort of getting clarification about what are we really talking about when we mean IT infrastructure. Where we're focusing from an IT infrastructure perspective, back to those principles of efficiency, of integration, and security. Number one, we want to make sure that our networks are not, and our infrastructure itself is not stovepiped such that it's actually a B2B type of transaction when an employee needs to interact with another employee who happens to be at another NASA center. We like to say that, you know, sharing a CAD drawing across centers shouldn't be a B2B transaction. We're trying to simplify that through standardization, integration, in some cases consolidation. In terms of the data centers, for example, we're moving to consolidate the number of data centers that we have down to a much smaller number so that we're clear in terms of our computing environments being housed in secure, well-managed data center facilities. And end-user devices, you're probably familiar with the mandates from the federal government to all agencies in terms of standardizing configuration, at least on Windows platforms. And so we're moving to have a more complete service level management of the desktop environment to help us ensure that systems are patched and appropriately configured to help us from a security standpoint, and also to help us from an interoperability standpoint as applications need to be delivered across those end user devices across the enterprise.
Being a mission focused enterprise, NASA has generated a significant number of applications. Currently, over 2,500, I believe, including over 8,000 websites. Could you tell us a little bit about the IT application management strategy, specifically what you're doing to create a CIO-facilitated process that drives standardization and efficiencies that you mentioned earlier within NASA?
Well, we think when you look at the role of the CIO and the role of IT in general, if we just focus on infrastructure, then at the end of the day, the value that we're providing is not what it should be and not what it could be. And so for CIOs to sort of move up the stack and to have a closer relationship with the business or the mission, applications have to come into play. Now, the tradition at NASA is that applications in many cases have been developed within the business units, within the centers, within the programs for specific needs, and that's appropriate in many cases. However, it's led to, as you described, a large number of applications and, in fact, a difficult time for us as an agency to understand even, you know, what our inventory is of applications and where are those opportunities for cross-center, cross-enterprise implementation and rationalization of our applications. And so our strategy is to, number one, educate our leadership and our key business partners around sort of, quote, the application problem so that people begin to understand why it's not such a good thing to have such a proliferation of tools. It may seem obvious to IT people. It's not necessarily obvious to all of our business partners why that's actually, you know, a significant issue that needs attention. So we talk about it in the context of those principles again and why it's important to have, you know, rationalization of your application environment to gain some efficiencies to allow for better integration and then obviously from a security standpoint. So we see the CIO's role in that process as much more of a facilitator, being clear about our sort of sub-portfolios that exist within the overall application portfolios, clear about who the owner is. So, for example, if it's financial, it's the CFO that owns that portfolio from a business perspective, and then understanding what does that portfolio look like, what are the opportunities for rationalization, where are the gaps in terms of business processes in that particular area, then it helps us to be much more logical and structured in how we invest in the future and also rationalize to save money. And so we like to use words like facilitate, coordinate, when we talk about applications. Words like control and dictate don't work so well in the applications environment.
The entire stack that you had mentioned, the spend is approximately $2.2 billion, which represents nearly 13% of NASA's total budget. Recent industry research suggests that for some enterprises, there could be another 10 to 50% of actual IT spend that's hidden among program budgets. Earlier, you were talking about visibility and the review board. I'd like to know, how's that working? And are there other things that you've done to be able to manage a capital investment plan that results in a mission-aligned and cost-justified?
It's a good question and an important one because ultimately, in terms of things like governance and trying to drive rationalization and integration, it typically comes back to budget. And so it's an important aspect, I think, of an overall plan. And we've tried not to ignore it. First order, we've been trying to better understand that $2 to $2.2 billion figure that you quoted. That's actually what we report to OMB in terms of our IT spend. Earlier, when I talked about sort of this differentiation between support IT and that embedded mission IT, when we report to OMB, we include a lot of that embedded mission IT. So if you think about the big ticket items like the software development processing facility for Space Shuttle, some of those things, which are, when you start comparing us to other agencies and other, you know, entities, it's not quite apples to apples if you're throwing in those kinds of sort of heavily mission-oriented IT. So one of the things we're trying to do is better understand sort of that total cost and IT spend related to that support IT and be a little clearer about what that entails. So we've had some success in terms of defining that. We're working with OMB in terms of how that impacts our overall reporting and what that means. But internally, we've worked to create within our financial system the ability to more clearly track IT spending. We've worked with our procurement officers and the associated procurement officers at each of our sites. The linkage between the procurement officer and the CIO is so important because that shadow spending occurs in many cases where a program has an IT need. Maybe they don't even know that it's available from the CIO, but perhaps they do and would prefer to actually have local control, you know, themselves of that particular IT solution. And so they might look to a contractor that they're using to provide some other mission service to do some IT work. Well, that can oftentimes become visible through the procurement process. And so partnering with the procurement officer to help gain visibility into the actual acquisitions so that we can see where there are big ticket IT buys that perhaps may not be consistent with our overall IT principles and where we're trying to head allows us to have some dialogue with the business in cases where that occurs. And then we have this governance process that we've structured so that ultimately the major issues can actually be brought to that group. Now, when you're talking about a $2 billion IT spend with 17,000 employees, it's not possible from a top-down perspective to, you know, manage every IT spend element. But the big ticket items, like someone who wants to create a new data center, someone who wants to implement a new ERP application, someone who's developing a new collaborative tool, that's a pretty big and it's a sizable investment. Those things we'd want to have visibility to. So we've taken what we've done for years, this capital planning process, but we've kind of, frankly, in some cases, we're just kind of going through the motions, and we've tried to more completely link it to the budget process, so that it actually is not just a reporting process, but it actually drives some of the decision-making that occurs during the budget process.
That's great. Jonathan, I only have a minute left, and I want to shift gears here for a moment. But as you know, the e-government initiative has been a critical component of the president's management agenda. Could you just take a brief moment to tell us about your agency's efforts in this area, and what are some of the challenges faced that remain to get accomplished?
Sure. We're an early adopter. One of the first out of the chute in terms of the one of the first big e-government projects was the payroll consolidation. And NASA was an early adopter. We used Department of Interior's offering there and have been running that for 4 years or so. And we found that to be a very successful implementation in terms of cost savings, in terms of allowing us not to focus precious IT resources on that kind of sort of more commodity style application. So we were an early adopter there. Also, in the human resources side of our business processes, some smaller footprint applications like position description management tools and resume management tools that were early eGov projects we have implemented. And in fact, actually, some of our first experience with web services and service-oriented architecture style sort of interaction occurred with some of those HR small projects. So we benefited from that, not only through the implementation of the tool, but the learnings that we got in terms of or received with the experience with the web services piece. The challenges are ensuring that or balancing the internal needs of the organization with the overarching sort of strategy that the federal government has in these particular eGov areas. We're in the process of implementing the travel management solution. We think it's going to be a good tool. However, if we looked at our overall portfolio of investments and the needs that existed, quite frankly, there was an internal debate around the fact that we already had a travel system that people felt worked. And so what's the compelling need to move to this new travel system? So that creates some interesting discussions around prioritization internally. And so that's one of the challenges, is understanding that it's the right thing to do, but also needing to make it fit within your overall portfolio.
So what is NASA doing to advance its IT security efforts? We will ask Jonathan Pettis, Chief Information Officer at NASA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.